You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
So as we prepare to jump in, I want you to know that if you would like to access the notes, you can text the number on the screen and those notes will show up for you. You can follow along with the message there online as well. You can access the notes. And I just want to ask this question before we jump in. Have any of you, through this process of the quarantine and COVID-19 and sheltering in place and everything that's been happening, asked these questions? God, what does this mean for my family? If you have, just raise your hand. They're at home as well. Just go ahead, lift your hand up. What does this mean for my family? What does this mean for my job? What does this mean for our income? What does this mean for the future of our nation? God, what are you saying to us? What am I supposed to be doing while I'm sheltering in place and homeschooling these kids and I'm about to kill somebody because I don't know what to do? Have any of you asked those questions? If you've asked those questions, I want you to know that I believe God has an answer for you. Y'all ready for that today? I believe he wants to minister to you as we transition out of this season. So I want to read something to you in regard to where we are right now. And I just want you to take a moment to think about this and how it pertains to you and your family right where we are right now. The Latin root word for quarantine is 40. So what does the Bible say about 40? The flood lasted 40 days. Think about this for a moment. Right now, we can reflect on history to learn about our future. There was a time when the earth was flooded and Noah found himself with his family being preserved by the Lord. And after the flood dissipated, new life began to spring forth. Right now, we have been flooded all throughout the entire earth with fear and anxiety and worry about our future. And the things that died off during the flood with Noah caused everything to come forth with new life after it dissipated. Think about the things that God called for us to die off during this time of quarantine. Our idols, the spending time at the bars, the sports games, all the things that we can so easily idolize, you and I both. God said, I'm killing it off. I want my people back. I want your undivided attention. What I have for you is too important. Keep your eyes on me. Let go of the distractions. And watch what I'll do in you and through you that can change the world. Anybody believe that today? So look, the flood lasted 40 days. Give God praise. That's right. We can praise him. He's good. Yeah. Y'all can talk to me. Come on, family. Yes. You can, online, yes. In the living room, yes. You can talk to me. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on. 40 years, Moses fled in Egypt. 40 days, Moses stayed on Mount Sinai to receive the commandments. The Exodus lasted 40 years. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days where it takes for a woman to rest after giving birth. I don't follow that rule sometimes. I don't know. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. My wife is like, you better stop. The optimum number of weeks for human gestation is 40. A group of theologians thinks the number 40 represents change. Everybody say change. How many know it's time for change? God wants to use you. It's the time for preparing a person or a people to make a fundamental change. Something will happen after these 40 days. See, March 23rd, is when the lockdown happened. It ended May 1st. That's exactly 40 days. Exactly 40 days. See, the air is becoming cleaner. The rivers are cleaning up. The pollution has dissipated. There's less theft. There's less murder. There's less distraction. Healing is happening not only around the world, but in our hearts. Most importantly, people are turning to Christ. Yeah, it's a dark world, and God has called for people to see the light. Guess who he wants to use to show them the light? Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, he's talking about you. Talking about you. They're online. Go ahead and look to the left and the right. Say, yep, he's talking about you. You're the light. Remember, we're in the year 2020. We heard the cliche at the beginning of the year of perfect vision, the year of clear vision, 20 plus 20 equals 40. 2020 is the year of the United States Census. Jesus Christ, the Savior of our world, was born during a census. Come on, y'all. Come on now. Come on. It's better than you're giving credit for. Come on. Somebody praise him. He is speaking. May these days of quarantine bring spiritual liberation to our souls, our nation, and ultimately all around the world. Amen? When you think about that, guess what? God wants to use you and your family as his billboard to point people back to him. You believe that today? I'm going to show you how. Because he has a purpose. He's put something inside of you that's going to draw people to him. In fact, so much so that he wants to use you as a billboard. You like, huh? What, pastor? Me? Yep. You. Talking about you. Think about this. Companies spend millions of dollars to get clarity on their purpose. And then they spend more millions to create ads and billboards so that when you have a problem, you can see their billboard as a solution that would draw you to their product. God spent the most expensive thing that he ever had. The blood of his precious son, Jesus Christ. So that when the world looked through the darkness and they could not seem to find the light, they would see a billboard that would point them to the Savior of the world. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all gods. And guess who the billboard is?
You.
That's right. You. So the title of this message today is Discovering God's Purpose for Your Family. If you're taking notes, you want to pull that up in the notes app, you can write that down. I want to show you an example of a family in the Bible that God used in this capacity. It's called the Rechabite family. Everybody say Rechabites. Say it again, Rechabites. It just sounds good. Rechabites. Jeremiah chapter 35, starting at verse 5. I'm going to read in just a moment, but I want to give you the backdrop, a little context to understand what led to this moment. So the prophet Jeremiah is in a position where God is speaking to him. And he says, hey, I want you to go visit the Rechabite family. And when you go visit the Rechabite family, I want you to go into their home. Hey, guys. Hey, Rechabites, how you guys doing? And then I want you to take pitchers of wine. And I want you to put it all in front of them. And then I want you to say, hey, Rechabite family, go ahead, partake. Turn up. Go ahead, take a sip, man. Drink that up, man. It's good stuff. So he's like, okay, all right. So now imagine he goes in, okay, brings the wine before him, gather the family. Yep, come on, dad, mom, auntie, uncle, nephews, nieces, everybody come, sit down. Okay, here's the wine. And God says, when you put the wine before them, I'm gonna give you a word for the family, depending on what they do. Okay, you guys got it? Y'all checking with me? Everybody say, yeah. Come on, you can do better now. Let me say, yeah. All right, so here it is, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 35. Then I set before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. Go ahead, guys, turn up, right? But they said, we will not drink wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, okay, let's pause right there. Rechab is the grandfather here. Jonadab is the dad. Hence, the word Rechabites comes from Rechab, okay? So God saw fit to name this entire family, this lineage, the genealogy, after Rechab. Why? Because of what he does. Our father commanded us, okay? You shall not drink wine, neither you nor your sons forever, nor shall you build a house or sow seed or plant a vineyard or own one. But you shall live in tents all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. We have obeyed the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us in all our days. We have never drunk wine, nor have wives, our sons, or our daughters. Nor have we built ourselves houses to live in, nor do we have vineyards or fields or seed. We've lived only in tents and have obeyed. Everybody say obey. And done everything. Everybody say everything. According to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, we said, come and let us go. Everybody say go. To Jerusalem for fear of the army of Chaldeans who rule Babylon and for fear of the army of the Arameans. So we have lived in Jerusalem. Okay, so we're going to continue in just a moment. But what happens here? He put the wine before him. They respond, no, sorry, don't want the wine. Appreciate you, but not happening. Here's why. Because our grandfather, Rechab, communicated to our father, Jonadab. And Jonadab said, hey, don't plant seed. Don't build a vineyard. Don't buy a house. And don't get attached to these things. Come on now. Are there some things that God may have spoken to you in this time through a grandfather, grandmother, a parent, you as the parent, where he's saying, hey, here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to focus on this. In this time, in this season around our world. Everybody else can do it. But here's what I want you to do as my ecclesia, my chosen people, my church. I want you to focus on this. Anybody heard from God in that manner? Yeah? Why? Here's why. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 18. Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, God spoke to Jeremiah, okay? I'm pausing now. God spoke to Jeremiah, and now God has given him a word for the family, and here's the word that he's delivering for the Rechabite family. He said to the house of the Rechabite, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab, your father. I don't know why his accent is like that, but it just sounds good. It just feels good. We're just gonna go with it. And have kept all his commands and have done according to all that he commanded you. It sounds more official, right? Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never fail to have a man, a descendant, to stand before me always. Anybody want that kind of word from God about you and your family? What happened? They identified their purpose. Rechab heard from God. He had a corporate encounter that turned into a daily encounter. And then he heard, believed, and obeyed and communicated to his son, Jonadab. And Jonadab said, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. If you read through the text, it's over 200 years that have obeyed this command because one man chose to have a corporate encounter that went to a daily encounter and chose to hear God, believe him, and obey him, and it transformed the entire community. God wants to use you to do the same thing as his billboard, church. Come on now. So what happens? How is this so significant? God needed them to be mobile. Here's what happened. When they were attacked by King Nebuchadnezzar, he would come and raid an entire community. He would take out a whole village, a tribe. And God's saying, I don't need you attached to the things of this world because when the enemy comes, I need you to be in a position to hear me, believe me, and obey me. And I'm going to preserve your generation. I'm going to preserve your people, your descendants, so that you will shine the light of Jesus Christ to the entire world and people can find you in the midst of the darkness. That's God's word for you today, Mercy Culture. That's God's word for you if you're watching online. He wants to preserve you no matter where you are. And all it takes is a moment to hear God, believe him, and obey. Amen? Anybody tracking with me? So when we think about this and we think about the significance of it, it all comes down to being able to understand the purpose in which God placed you on the earth. That's it. And you might be asking, all right, Pastor, that sounds real good. How many in here have a written purpose statement right now for your family or you? If you do, just raise your hand. There's no condemnation if you don't. That's why I'm here today. I'm here to help you. So I want you to raise your hand boldly if you have one. If you don't, it's okay. Okay, put your hands down. If you don't have a purpose statement, if you don't understand why I'm here, it's the number one question. It's the number one question around the world. Why am I here? If you're asking that question right now, raise your hand. It's okay. Raise your hand. Why am I here? They're online. Raise your hand. I believe God wants to show you. And when he does, if you receive it, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. You believe that? It's the truth. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And he put something so significant inside of you that it can change the world. It really can. So for me and my family, God began this journey with us through a process of confusion, so to speak. You don't get 9 kids on accident. So my wife and I, we do a weekly date night. I prefer it to be daily sometimes, but we enjoy that once a week outing where her and I just have time with ourselves and no kids. We love our children, but as you know, I love my wife more. And with that, we were sitting in the parking lot, beautiful date, had an amazing time together. We're sitting right outside the house in the car. I mean, everything was perfect. I'm thinking we're getting ready to go inside, you know, we're just gonna settle down for the evening. And she hits me with this question kind of sideways, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, babe, like right now, that's, you know, it's like, hey, hey man, you got 2 minutes? And then it hits you with that question. It's like, bro, for real? 2 minutes? It's going to take us 2 hours to process that. Seriously? 2 minutes? It was one of those moments. So she's like, hey, babe, you know, I know everything was great tonight, but I just want to ask a quick question. What's our purpose? Why did God bring us together, you know, to be married, you know, as a family, you know? What's our purpose? And I'm feeling like I understand the question. I'm trying to answer it, but I'm bombing this thing, guys. I'm dropping the ball. The more I try to explain it, the worse it gets. It's just like, let me put the shovel down and stop digging this hole, and let's just go to the Lord. So we go to the Lord, and God reminds me of a vision that he showed me about our family when we first got married. I was sitting down at the kitchen table and I was praying, and God showed me Psalm 127 verses 1-2. I don't have the scripture up, but that's Psalm 127 if you want to read it. And part of it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And as I was reading this scripture, I had this open vision of this family in a field. And I saw a husband, wife, like three or four kids, maybe five on this side, five on this side. And they were overwhelmed and enveloped with the presence of God. And it was so strong that it brought me to tears. And I saw the love that they had for the Lord and the love they had for one another. And it was this overflow effect. And I was thinking to myself, God, man, who is that? Who is that family? I need to know them. And God said, son, you really want to know who that is? I said, yeah. He said, it's your family. That's your family. And I want to show you guys a picture of my crew, if we have that, and we can put it up on the screen. But when he showed me this, it blew my mind. And you can leave that up for a moment, because I came in the room right after I had this vision. I'm like, babe, we're gonna have a big family. It's gonna be amazing. God just spoke to me. She looked at me. We were just married. She said, baby, listen. I don't know who you think is going to have all of those children, but it is not going to be me. Okay, you're lucky if you get one or two, bruh. You're lucky if you get one or two. Here we go, right here. Can we just give God praise? He is good. So God, he began to make the process clear for us. Hey, I'm going to give you a large family, but there's some specific things I want you guys to do. And with that, he gave us a family vision statement, which is to glorify God with a passionate, purpose-filled life and inspire others to do the same. That is what we were born to do. And we want to help you tap into what God has called you and your family to do. So 3 points today. The first is ask. If you are asking that question right now, God, how do we find that for ourselves? How do we find our purpose? Point number one is very simple. Ask. Everybody say ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. The mistake we make many times is we're asking outside of God's will. And we're wondering why it hasn't come to pass. So what have you been asking God for outside of scripture? Got a little quiet in this Presbyterian church. What, and I'm guilty too. What have we been asking for that we're standing on scripture about? Because God is bound by his own word, and if he's made the promise to you, we have to stand on his promise to see it to come to pass. So I wanted to share a quick story about a man, because you may be thinking, oh, I don't know if we can get this. You know, this it seems such an insurmountable task to try to get this, you know, ambiguous vision for me and my family. How do we do that? Well, I want you to know today, I believe God wants to begin the process with you. There's a story about a guy who was drowning in the ocean. A boat comes by and they're like, hey, you know, you need some help. We can give you a life raft. He's like, no, God's going to save me. I'll be fine. Thank you. Okay. Next thing you know, cruise ship comes by. Hey, we can help you. Please grab the life raft. I'm going to be fine. The Lord is going to save me. Thank you. Right? Next, Coast Guard in the helicopter. Sir, please grab the life raft. We're going to help you. I'm going to be fine. My God is going to save me. He drowns, goes to heaven. God, what's up? I thought you were going to save me. I was trusting you. I had faith. God is like, bro, I sent 3 different people to save you. Come on. Hello. I'm here today. God is going to do it. But guess what? I have the privilege and honor of being here with you to extend a lifeline. My question is, are you going to grab a hold of it? Are you going to grab a hold today? God wants to touch you in a special way. So think about this. If you're like, I don't know, Pastor, sounds good, but we just want to kind of live life. You know, we just want to go to work, come home, American dream, picket fence, 2.5 kids, dog, good to go. That's great. That's great. If you want what God has for you, the American dream pales in comparison. I'm trying to tell you something here. Think about this. God doesn't create anything without purpose. Adam and Eve, it was the first attack on marriage, because the very first institution ever created in the history of the world was the family. Think about it. It was instituted before religion, before government, a marriage, the family, the very first institution ever. And God created it with tremendous purpose. God outlines Adam and Eve's purpose right here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Everybody say, in our image. That's what the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son said. They will reign, everybody say reign, over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Squirrel. So God created human beings in his own image. Look to your neighbor to your left and your right and say, man, you look good. Now, if you're single, don't go too far, okay? Hold on. I saw somebody say, like, snuggle up a little bit, like, yeah, Hold on now, hold on. Daryl-line at home, you look good. Why? Say, you look like God. Because you're his son or you're his daughter. Amen? In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, y'all already know how I apply this scripture, okay? I'm like, baby, listen, the Bible says, but it doesn't always refer to just that. It's talking about the very thing, the seed that God has placed inside of you in the form of purpose that he wants to bring forth to bless the world so that people can eat of the fruit of what God has put inside of you. Amen? So Adam and Eve, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. He's called them to rule and reign, not over people, but over the enemy, so that we could be the ecclesia, the chosen people of God, his church, and we could see the Spirit of God move in a powerful way throughout the entire earth. Number two example, Joseph and Mary. Purpose was to get married to bring forth the Savior of the world through the power of the Holy Spirit with a miraculous conception. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That literally means to hover. And when you think about a bird hovering over its nest, it's in a position where it's literally protecting the young from any enemies that come, any predators that may try to come. It's feeding the little birdies and it's saying, hey, I'm the one watching over this nest. If you want to get to it, you got to go through me. And God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, is hovering in this house over all of us, his sons and daughters. And he's saying that I am going to miraculously place something inside of you, and I'm going to protect you from any enemies. I'm going to protect you from any predators, but I'm going to feed you everything you need to grow and flourish, spread your wings, and fly. Let me say it like this. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God intimately and not walk away pregnant. In a marriage, when my wife and I, when you and your spouse come to the most intimate place in that beautiful relationship that God designed, inception takes place. And there's produce. There's a child. There's something birthed over the course of time. When you come into an intimate relationship with God, just like he did with Mary, he places something inside of you so that you conceive his purpose and you birth it into the earth so that the world can experience the joy of what he's placed on the inside of you so that people see him when they look at you. Amen? Abraham and Sarah, they established a blessed nation under God's new covenant in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. God has a vision for you so big that's going to glorify God and blow your mind. The question is, do you receive it today? Come on, y'all, you can do better than that. Do you receive it today? Do you really receive it? They're online, do you receive it? Amen. So how do you get God's purpose for your family? I said it earlier. Pastor Landon says it every single time he steps in the pulpit, corporate encounters to daily encounters. In those daily encounters, we have a choice to make. Are we going to hear, believe, and obey? And if we hear, believe, and obey God, then he pours out his blessing. And that's where we experience the fullness of what he has. Amen? Amen. So here's where we are. I want to show you guys just a couple of pictures. I don't know if we have these for our family, but as a result of hearing, believing, and obeying, you're going to find that God gives you vision. He gives you a mission. He'll give you core values for your family. So much so that he'll even take it down and give you a clarified family slogan. Yeah. Ours is life. We want to have a life invested for eternity. If you ask any one of our children, hey, what's your family vision statement? They'll tell you it's to glorify God with a passionate, purpose-filled life. They'll rattle it off all the way down. So God wants to do the same thing for you. And I don't know if we have those photos. It's okay if we don't. But mission statements, core values, he wants to provide all of that for you. And you may be thinking, man, it's such an insurmountable task. How, where do we start? What do we do? I want you to know that the power of the Holy Spirit is here. And he wants to, here we go. This is just a few examples. This is our mission statements as a family. You can go to the next one with the vision statements if you have that. We have the core values. We'll just put those up and let those scroll through. And as we're doing that, I want you to know that if you're thinking about it and you're asking the question right now, I don't know where to start. You've been learning about the one who can help you for the last few weeks. Pastor Landon and Pastor Heather have been teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit, doing a phenomenal job with that. Amen? Would you agree? Yeah. And he is the one who's going to help you. And I'm just going to highlight one component of what the Holy Spirit does. And we will recognize the significance of that in just a moment. But before we do, I want you to know, before we get into that, that the purpose that God's placed on your life is so significant. What I'm about to share with you is going to put things in perspective. If you don't think you have purpose, if you're like, I don't know, it's too big of a task, I want you to think about a cockroach for a minute. Yes, I said it, a cockroach, a nasty pest that we all can't stand. Cockroaches have purpose. Guess who gave it to them? God. So when you see one, guess what the purpose of that moment is? Yep, kill it. But the reason why that bad boy showed up is because God's reminding us, hey, bro, you need to clean up the house. Time to clean up. On a more serious note, they're decomposers. And although they've survived everything that our world has experienced, without a cockroach, they wouldn't decompose things that allow the soil to be fertilized, to turn into compost, to bring forth flowers and grass and trees so that we can enjoy the fruit of those trees. Can you believe that? God put that kind of purpose in a cockroach, man. Seriously, God. Wow. Think about flowers for a moment. Flowers are created with a specific color, shape, scent to attract certain types of birds and insects that can help pollinate and further facilitate our ecosystem. If God is going to put that level of attention to detail in a cockroach, grass, flowers, how much more is he going to put on the inside of you when you were made to look just like him as his son or his daughter? Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that you don't have a purpose, that you don't know what it is. If you don't know, it's okay. God's going to deposit that today. Anybody ready for that? Online, you received that? It's the truth. We serve a good God. He is with us. And he's like, no, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my family. So that leads me right into point number two. Number one was ask. Number two is seek. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Say it again. Many times you hear that scripture and that second word is left out. It's really important. And righteousness is not out of our own strength or ability. It is all about repenting and turning to God and then recognizing that we're nothing without him. The word literally means in right standing with God. So think about that. And all of these things will be added to you. So how do we do that? We first ask, then we seek. And as we seek first his kingdom, it boils down to this: priorities. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, he breaks this down in terms of how we are to prioritize our lives. He's talking to the church of Ephesus and he says, first is your relationship with the Lord, one-on-one. Number two, if you're married, is your spouse. Number three is your children. Number four is your work. And number five is your calling. And if you're lucky, you've never worked a day in your life because you found your calling in your work. Here's the issue. In the world that we live in, there's tremendous pressure for the things at the bottom of the list to climb up to the top. And the things at the top to get pushed down to the bottom. When we prioritize God's priorities, he takes care of us. And he takes care of the things on the bottom of the list. Amen? So I love what Stephen Covey said to illustrate this. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. Brilliant in its simplicity. I love it. So when it comes down to prioritizing, there's two types of families, okay? So I want you to picture me standing here with my tribe, okay? Me and my wife are holding hands all 9 of our children. It's a real big circle, okay? And we're all looking into the circle and looking up at the Lord. So we're prioritizing God, and we are relying on one another. And everything that we need is being provided in this sphere of family, okay? That is a picture of what's called an interdependent family. Now, conversely, I want you to imagine another family standing right here. But instead of standing and holding hands facing inward, they're all facing outward. Some are holding hands, others aren't. Some are walking away, others are walking in different directions. There's pain, there's opposition, there's offense. That's called an independent family. What's the difference? The difference is we have one family who's getting their need met within the family unit and by the Lord. And the other family is an example of a family who's not getting those needs met within the family unit. What is the byproduct? The byproduct is this is a family that understands purpose. This is a family that's pursuing the Lord. This is the purpose of the family going in one direction. The end result over here is the children are saying, can't get my needs met there. I should just go join a gang. Yeah, might as well go and fornicate with him because he's the only one that shows me any attention. Yep, she smiled at me at the bar, so be nice to take her home. At least she smiles at me. Can't remember last time my wife smiled at me. Or, man, he comes home and he just plays video games. Doesn't see that I need help with the kids and changing diapers. Might as well just go and I'd be better off by myself. Yeah, we've all seen and heard these tragic stories. Some of us have experienced them ourselves, including me. But God says, hey, I want you to recognize, I want you to be an interdependent family. And when you trust me, despite what you've gone through, despite the pain you're going through right now, I can show you the way. If you reach out and grab a hold of this life raft that I'm sending to you, I'll show you the way. Amen? Amen. So I want to read through these really quick here. And this is really a indicator for the breakdown of the family. And as we look at this, I want you to see the significance of this. This is from a Harvard sociologist, Carl Zimmerman. And this was documented as a reality in 1947. And these are the 8 traits called the 8 symptoms of an atomistic age. In other words, if you have a society that's thriving, here are 8 symptoms of that society that will cause it to implode. In other words, the bomb is going to go off and that society will fail. This happened with the Babylonians, it happened with some of the greatest societies.
Thank you for being with us today.
The Romans.
We want to hear what God
age.
Is doing in your
life. I'm going to read through these.
So feel free to share on social media and
tag #1, marriage loses.
For more information and to stay connected, follow us on social media or visit mercyculture.com.
#2, the traditional meaning of marriage is lost. #3, the feminist movement abounds and there's a loss of value for the family. There's an increased public disrespect for parents. There's an increase in juvenile delinquency, promiscuity, and rebellion. The hospitality of pseudo-intellectuals to the traditional family soon spreads to common people, sealing the doom for the society. There's an increased acceptance of adultery. And last but not least, there's a tolerance for sexual perversions of all kinds, which puts the nail in the coffin. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, about the last 50 years, we've been plagued by that, not only here in the United States, but all around the world. So how do you discover God's purpose for your family and fulfill it as an interdependent family? It leads to my last point, #3, knock. Psalm 37:4, take delight. That word literally means to find pleasure in, to find joy in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. If you haven't gotten it yet, my question is, are your desires aligned with God's desires? Many times we're like, God, I'm asking for this, but I haven't gotten it. As we come into contact with God and develop an intimate relationship with him, our desires begin to change and become his desires for us. Amen? So for me, I grew up, lived an immoral life, sinful life. At the age of 16 years old, realized my desperate need for a savior. And after getting saved, I was so excited about my salvation. I said, God, I want to give a gift back to you. At the time, being 16, I thought my best gift was my athletic ability and my ability to play football. So I said, God, I want to go to the NFL. I want to stand on the platform after winning a Super Bowl and tell the entire nation about how good you are because of how good you've been to me. So that was a dream that lived in my heart as a 16-year-old kid. Fast forward 10 years of sweat, blood, and tears, and I found myself running down the field against the Minnesota Vikings And I hit what's called the wedge. It's three of the nastiest, ugliest, meanest, strongest looking people you've ever seen in your life that create what's called a wall. And they're running full speed at you. And if you're the first one down the field, it's your job to hit them like a crazy man. So yours truly was responsible to do that because I was the first one down the field. And after I hit the wedge, everything went black. I found my knee was swelling. It felt like a tree trunk. I was like, what is happening? I tried to run on it. I couldn't. It felt like a wet noodle. They called me off the field and said, Mondo, we need to do a test on your leg. They tested it. They said, we have good news and bad news. Which one do you want first? I said, give me the bad news. Bad news is you tore your ACL. You're done for the season. It's over. The good news is we still want you to be a New York Jet. In that moment, the enemy whispered in my ear and said, Mondo, that NFL dream you had, it means not for long. You're done. God said, no, son. NFL for you means newfound life, and now you're about to step into your true destiny as a pastor. That's what you were born to do. So no matter where you are, no matter how hard things are, even right now in this moment, I want you to know God still has purpose for you, and even when the enemy tries to lie, he will turn it and show you the power of what he's put on the inside of you. Now, there's seven purposes of the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill that. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. This is in John chapter 14, 16. And it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. And if you're asking, how do we start? What do we do? He's going to be your strengthener. My question is, how has he already strengthened you? He's done more than we give him credit for. He's going to be your standby. When did God stand by you when you felt alone? Think about it. He's been there. He's your helper. When did you ask for help and see him provide? He's your intercessor. How have you been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or have you? Come on now. He's your advocate. When did someone else step up to advocate for you even when you didn't have to? He's your comforter. When were you grieving and how did he comfort you? He's your counselor. When did you ask for wisdom and saw him provide it for you? See, this is a season where God wants to turn a tragedy into a triumph. I'm gonna share a short story with you about a family that experienced triumph during the Depression, the Great Depression in the 1920s. It started with a man by the name of Frank who, as a kid, had a severe ailment physically that did not allow him to go out and play with the other kids. So he would stay inside, he would go inside, and he would cook with his mom in the kitchen. Mom would show him the ropes, and next thing you know, he found a knack for making candy in the kitchen with his mom. Now, fast forward, he's continuing to cultivate this purpose. He's feeling called to this. And now he's in a season where he's about to get married. He marries a woman by the name of Ethel. He and Ethel found their purpose together. And in the midst of calamity around our entire nation during the 1920s and the Great Depression, he and Ethel made a little invention in their kitchen, something that seems insignificant, but they found purpose. They had a racehorse by the name of Snickers, and they named their new invention, their new candy bar, after their racehorse. True story. They found purpose in the midst of what seemed like a sour situation and provided something sweet for the whole world to enjoy. Amen? True story. God wants to do something like that with you. The question is, do you receive it? So all three of those points boil down to one thing. If you don't remember anything else I said, I just want you to remember this. The first point was what? Y'all say it out loud? Ask. The second point was seek. The third point was what? Knock. Put those three together and you create an acronym, ASK. If you don't know what else to do, simply ask. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you the wisdom you need. So I'd like you to stand up right now as we begin to close. Everybody stand up on your feet. And I wanna walk you through an exercise in our last few moments here. And if you're asking that question, today wasn't designed to give you the mission statement, vision statement, core values, and all of that. This is just the beginning of the process. The Holy Spirit is going to walk you through that. But as an individual today, whether you're single or married, divorced, it doesn't matter. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to deposit something. He wants to hover in this atmosphere and deposit something inside of you that's going to begin the process. And you're going to be pregnant with purpose moving forward, and he's going to bring you more clarity as you go through that process. Amen? So I'm going to ask you five questions. We're going to go through it quickly. It's designed to be quick. It's not designed to give you analysis paralysis, so just flow with me, okay? And as we go through these, again, I'm going to move pretty quick. This will begin the conversation with you and your spouse if you're married. If you're single, it's going to begin the conversation with you and the Holy Spirit. And if you're married, you want to take it to the Holy Spirit as well. Amen? Everybody ready? All right, so you're going to shout out an answer to these five questions as loud as you can. okay? And I want you to say it with passion, like you believe God is going to do something special in you. You guys ready for that? All right, I'm going to go over the questions really quick, and then we're going to do it out loud where you're going to respond to me, okay? They're online. You can go through this as well. The first question is, who are you? It's your last name. It's not that complicated, okay? I'm a Davis, Pastor Landon, a shot. Okay, it's that simple, okay? What do you do? Okay, think about it like this. This is the thing you do the very best with the least amount of effort. It's that simple. People always tell you how amazing you are, but you don't believe it because it comes so natural. Number three, who do you do it for? In other words, who do you feel called to? I feel called to single parents. I feel called to the homeless. I feel called to children. I feel called to athletes. Whatever it is. What do those people want and need? The homeless need food and shelter. Those without jobs, they need clarity on what kind of jobs they can get. The single parents need support. Last question, how do they change as a result? We take homeless people off the street and we empower them to find their purpose and provide for their families. We help children find out what they were born to do. Whatever it is, this is how they change as a result. All right, y'all ready? All right, so now you're gonna say them out loud. I'm gonna read the question. You're gonna shout out the answer as loud as you can. And then when you leave, you're gonna process that with the Holy Spirit and with your spouse or your family. And you're going to begin to document it, and God's going to begin to help you with this process. All right, you ready? Who are you? What do you do? Come on, this is good. You do it at home as well. Come on now. Who do you do it for? What do those people want and need? Oh, don't fade on me now. Somebody's scratching their head like, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. Come on. Hang in there with me. How do they change as a result? Somebody said Holy Spirit. That was good. He does. He does everything, right? Yeah. Oversaved. Oversaved. All right. So as we close, I want you to go ahead and close your eyes right now. Stay standing for me. That was just the beginning of the process. Those questions are in the notes. You can go back over those, process it. But here's what I want to do. As we close, I want to just share this story with you. There's a story, this is a true story about a man by the name of Ali Hafed. Ali Hafed was a man who had everything. He had a conversation with the man of God, and he had a beautiful family. He had children, the business, farms, everything you could think of. He had the American dream. He has a conversation with a man of God, and he talked to him about the value of diamonds. And he said, if you had just one diamond, you could have not one farm, but many farms. The key to Ali Hafed's success in his life was his contentment. And when he learned about the value of the diamond, he found himself discontent. He sold everything he had and began to travel the world looking for diamonds. 3 years later, after losing everything and being broke, down to rags, depressed, empty, he found a beach, walked into the water, never to return, self-inflicted, suicide. True story. The family who purchased his home after he passed away, they were out in the back and looked through a stream and saw a glitter. And as they picked up what they thought were rocks and got them examined, they found that they were diamonds. But not just a few, there were acres of diamonds in the backyard of Ali Hafed's house. But yet he traveled the entire world trying to find it. And I want you to know that today you may be thinking, man, he just talked to me about the value of purpose. I don't know where to start or what to do. I want you to know that God has planted it right on the inside of your heart. It's in your backyard. All you got to do is take out your shovel and allow the Holy Spirit to show you the beauty of what's already inside of you. So no matter where you are, if you receive that message today and you want God's purpose for you and for your family, I just want you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender to him. And I want you to cry out to him right now in your own words. They're at home as well. Cry out to him in your own words. And Heavenly Father, we know that we were born with purpose. We were made in your image. And our desire is to glorify you with our lives. So Lord, we ask you right now to reveal the power of your purpose. We give you all the praise and honor. And we say, Holy Spirit, speak, for your servants are listening.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.